Last time, and today we're going to continue the sugya of Pasakum. So there are a lot of ways to break down the sugya. All we did last time is we just tried to figure out whether the gzera still exists. So we pointed out the struggle in the Gemara that you see that there was definitely at least a rumor that the gzera was pulled back. And what we're going to see is that it was partially pulled back, meaning it's a very confusing sugya. The sugya of Pasakum is very confusing because we know that we do this as a chumrah during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So is it a chumrah or is it a din? It's a there's a mishnah that it's a din. So you have to always categorize whenever you talk about Pasakum, and we can get to this probably not today, but at a different, you know, probably tomorrow, you always have to categorize all bread in one of three categories. There's Pas Yisrael, there's Pas Palter, and there's Pas Akum. Meaning Pas Akum, that's straight Pas Akum, what we call Pas Palabayis, that's Aser. That's the Mishnah. We never undid that Gezerah, the way we paskin. Pas Yisrael, that's Mutter. Pas Palter, there's room to negotiate, right? Pas Palter, maybe they undid the Gezerah, maybe it's a worthwhile Chumrah, maybe it's more than a worthwhile Chumrah, maybe it's a Chumrah for certain times of the year, you know, things of that nature. That's the category that's in the middle. What makes it even more confusing, and again, we're not going to get to this right now, but we'll get to this a little bit later on. If you look, for example, in Sif Yud Beis, Shulchan Aruch writes, Im Afa Ovik Chavim HaPas, Belo Chitu Yisrael, Belo Chisim, Afilu Karma Pnei Asraf, Mol Chitu Yisrael, etc. Sif Yud Beis? No, Sif Yud Aleph. Pas Shal Yisrael, Sha'afa Ovik Chavim, Belo Chitu Yisrael, Belo Chisim, Israel, that if you have a nachri that cooks past, that bakes past that belongs to Israel, that's going to be aser, and that's true even of pas palter. Whereas a nachri that bakes a nachri's bread and it's pas palter, that's going to be mutter, right? We're going to find that sometimes having Israel in the picture makes things worse than not having Israel in the picture, which makes it even more confusing. Like, why should that be the case? So, as we said, Pas can be a somewhat of a confusing sugya. So what I want to do today is first just finish off that discussion of what exactly the heterim are. Because we have this mention in the Gemara about something about being in the Sada, about whether Pas Yisrael is available. Like, what exactly do we hold about that? Meaning, what are the heterim? When are we matir and when are we not matir? And then to get into a little bit about who counts as an akum. Meaning pas akum is aser. Does that mean dafka someone who's ovid avodah zarah? Does it mean anyone who's not Jewish? What about someone who's not religious? What about someone who's so we'll get to that as well, and then we'll start getting into the definition of pas. Is Cheerios pas? Are wraps pas? What counts as pas? Because you have to know whether you're going to judge it by the gedarim of pas akum or by the gedarim of bishul akum. So let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara said that we saw last time, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Afilu Mandiyamar Palter Akum, Lo Amar El Deleka Palter Yisrael. That even if you hold Pas Palter is Mutter, that if there's a professional baker who's a non-Jew, that you're allowed to have his bread, that's only if there's no Palter Yisrael available. But if you have a Palter Yisrael available, then you're not supposed to buy from the non-Jewish bakery. So if you have a bakery in town that's owned by a Jew and run by a Jew and baked by a Jew, so then you're not supposed to go to the non-Jewish bakery, according to Rabbi Chelbo. And then the Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Mandir Palter Akum, Hanimi L'Besada will be Irlo Mishum Chasnus." And that even though we are mekil for pas palter, that's only out in a sada, but not when you're in the ear. So what we have over here are two different criteria for heter. We have the criteria of not having a palter yisrael available, and the criteria of being in the sada. So the Ramban and the Ran both write that Rabbi Yochanan really agrees with Rabbi Chelbo that you can only begin being matir when there's no Palter Yisrael. Of course, that has to be the basis of any kula for Palter Akum, that there is no Jewish bakery available. We're going to discuss this in some detail, not today, probably not even tomorrow. We're going to discuss in some detail what that means exactly. No Jewish bakery that makes the same level of bread, no Jewish bakery that sells for the same price, no Jewish bakery at all. What exactly does that mean? But we'll get to that at a different time. But the Ramban and the Rad write, it is not a machlokas in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Rabbi Chelbo that as a baseline, you need to have no Paltry Yisrael available. And then he says, but I'm going to add another chumrah, that even then, the heter is only besada, that the heter is not going to apply beir. So essentially, what the Ramban and the Rambam understand is that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us, you need both conditions in order to be matir. You need to be not Paltry Yisrael, no Paltry Yisrael available, and to be besada in order to be makel. If you look in the Rambam, Machlokes Asuros Yud Zayin Yud Beis, the Rambam writes, Afal pisha asu pas akum yesh mekomos shemekilin bedavar velokhin pas hanachtom haakum. Right, there are places where we're makil and we buy pas paltry. You buy from a professional baker. Bimakom she'ein sham nachtom Yisrael u bisode mipnei shusha setcha. Right, he says two criteria, that there not be a paltry Yisrael, and that you're out in the sada where there's not food readily available, presumably, and therefore it's considered a shas and chak. So the Rambam seems to say, like Ramban, like the Ran, that you need both of these things in order to be makel. One second. Aval, pas bale batim, ain't sham misha morbala hakel. But if it's not a professional baker, it's pas bale batim, and we're going to have to define the gedder of that as well. What about these people who sell baked products out of their own homes, with hashkacha, without hashkacha, whatever, but it's a business that they're running out of their own home. So what, is that a palter? Is that paspal abayis? Okay, we'll have to get to that. But he says, paspal abatim, no one is makil. She'ikra gzirim shum chasus. If you need paspal abatim, that's the worst, right? Paspal abatim, there's nothing to talk about. So the Rambam paskins are Rabbi Yochanan, and he understands that Rabbi Yochanan is just being machmir beyond Rabbi Chelbo's chumrah. Right, so it's he agrees Rabbi Chelbo, and then is machmir beyond that. Then the Ramban and the Ran point out that it could be that Rabbi Chelbo was speaking about in a city, and he agrees to this heter when there's no paltry Yisrael. But then he adds another kula that Rabbi Yochanan said that in a field it's mutter, even if there is a paltry Yisrael. Meaning the other way to read the Gemara is it's one or the other, that either kula, they're not disagreeing. But it's they're not saying you need both criteria. They're saying either criteria or the other is good enough. The Ramban says that the Rif seems to assume that way because the Rif writes b'makom she'ein pas Yisrael mitzuya imu ala v'tirua mipnei chayei nefesh, and he doesn't distinguish between sada and ir. So it seems that just not having the paltry Yisrael available is enough reason to be makel. So it sounds like one without the other is enough reason to be makel. And presumably, if you're passing the Rabbi Yochanan as well, the other without the one, meaning either one, is enough reason to be makel. Then there's a third possibility that the Ran quotes, and the third possibility is that it's machlokas, and that each one says a different heter. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't think it matters at all if the paltry Yisrael is available or not. Only whether you're be'ir v'sada. That's the sole criteria, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And according to Rabbi Chelbo, the sole criteria is whether there's a paltry Yisrael available, and I don't care if you're b'sada or be'ir. But the Ritva points out that it's not mashma that way in the Gemara, that it's machlokas. Why is it not mashma that way in the Gemara? Because the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't say Rabbi Yochanan Amar. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan implies that he's not arguing. Rabbi Yochanan Amar would imply that he's arguing. That's a klal in general, that whenever you have the name first, it implies a machlokas. The Ran had a girsa in the Rambam where he didn't mention Sada at all. And the Rambam was just makel whenever there's no paltry Yisrael. So the Ran says, the Rambam must have learned that they're arguing, and he must have paskin like Rabbi Chelbo. So the Kesem Mishnah points out, and he writes this in the Beis Yosef as well, that the Ran's text of the Rambam was incorrect, that the Rambam does mention both, and the Rambam really does assume like the first of our three possibilities. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's interesting. In Shulchan Aruch, he seems to leave out the word besada. So he seems to bring the Lashnar Rambam lefi girsas haran, right? Which in Beis Yosef he said is the incorrect girsa. Right, meaning in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis, Yesh Makom Shem Mekilim V'Dav Lachem Pas Mi Nachtom Ovid Chavim, B'Makom Shein Shem Nachtom Yisrael Meshi Shas Hadcha. Aval Pasha Bale Bat, Nain Shamishum Rabalat, Shukh Zer Mishum Chasus, Vyokhbal, etc. And that line in Shulchan Aruch, nothing about Sada. So that's a little bit strange. But bottom line is we have three ways to understand this Gemara. So the first way to understand the Gemara is that you need both conditions. It needs to be no Paltar Yisrael and it needs to be Sada. The second possible way is either condition is good enough. And the third possible way is that they argue on each other and therefore you got to paskin which condition is good enough. And it could be that the way the Ran learns the Rambam, that he's arguing, that he learns that they're arguing, and the Sada issue is not an Inyan at all. The only Inyan is whether Paltar Yisrael is available. And that's what it seems to say in Shulchan Aruch, even though in Beis Yosef, in Kesef Mishnah, he thinks it's based on an erroneous text of the Rambam. Questions? Yeah.
Can you also read Uba Sada and the Rambam as or?
As what?
Couldn't you read Uba Sada as or?
What's the lashon Rama? Avli shalsu pasal yesh mekom shul mekiv lachem pasal nachna avim mekom she'in shem nachtu b'Yisrael u basada. It's a little misleading then. No?
Yeah.
That's not the pasal reading, right?
Yeah.
So again, we'll get to what that means, that pasal Yisrael is available. We're not going to get to it right now because we're trying to speak more begadol and then we'll get into the nitty gritty, as we continue. There's a lot to do here. Okay. Now, there is a question the Ramban discusses about whether this gezeirah should apply at all nowadays anyway. It's a fascinating question. The Ramban says, I don't understand, what's the whole concern? The concern is chaslus, so you're going to come to marry them. They would never marry us. Jews are pigs and dogs and everything else. You go, go a few blocks away to Columbia, you'll hear what Jews are, right? So they would never want to marry us. So if they're never going to marry us anyway, by their own religion, they would never want to marry us. So why would there be any concern of chasnus? The Ramban in Dibra Maskel Od Reisi quotes that there were those who are entirely matir, the Yisra of Pasakum, because the whole concern is chasnus, and that was a concern at some point when Ha'isach Chaviv Aleim Behemtan Shol Yisrael Yosef Minashul Sam, when they would rather be married to our animals than to their own wives. But now they're forbidden by their own laws from marrying us, so there's no longer a concern. So the Ramban roundly rejects that possibility. And the Ramban says, that's a huge mistake. He says, even I'll grant you that the Metzius is correct. Their rules are, you can't undo a gezeira that was made by an earlier Beis Din, even if the Tam no longer applies. We don't have a Beis Din Gadol V'Chacham Minyan to undo the gezeira, and therefore there's nothing to be, you can't be mevatel a gezeira. And also, he says, nothing has really changed, because their whole prohibition against marrying us is not new. They always had a prohibition against marrying us. Whoever these old chum that we lived amongst were never allowed to marry us. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Beis said that Bitzina, they would say Chaviva Behemtan Shol Yisrael Yoser, that they prefer our animals to their own wives. But Befarhesia, they would never say such a thing. Befarhesia was a busha to them. They weren't allowed to marry us. And that Metzius is still true. Also, says the Ramban, their laws allow them to marry a Meshumad. So it's even a greater concern that they were afraid that people are going to be geshmad. People are going to go and leave the religion and become a mumar in order to be able to marry the Akum. That's how good the cake is. That's how good the bread is. That people are going to go to that extent. So the concern is absolutely there, says the Ramban. So that's a real non-starter. As we have seen, there is a machlokas rishonim as to how far this gezeira, how much of this gezeira still exists. So Tosis writes that we're makel the gezeira lo pasha de iser and goes from gezeira elam kin rov tzibri chol olam hava. The Rush says it's tali b'minag hamakomos. It turned from a gezeira to a minag, and therefore, in any form, this gezeira is not really binding on everybody. Even the Gemara says Mechlal di'ika man d'shari, which indicates that there were places that the gezeira didn't catch on. But as we've already established, and as you would suspect, rov rishonim, Rambam, Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, Ran, all assume the gezeira exists in a modified form. It exists with kulas, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph paskins. Asru chachanim lechol pas shel amimim olde kochavim mishum chasnos. This gzera exists. The chachavim aser it. Now the Rama adds right at the beginning over here, getting into the Shulchan Aruch now. Va'afilu b'makom delek mishum chasnos aser. That even in a situation where there's no concern of chasnos, it's aser. So what does he mean by that? That there's no concern of chasnos, that it's going to be aser. So pashas he means the non-Jewish baker doesn't have any children. So I'm not concerned about marrying his children because he doesn't have any children, so you don't have to worry about marrying his children. So why? Why would that still be aser? So the Taz writes, kigon she'em lo banim to lo plug rabbanan. This is a classic example of a lo plug. The pasachum is aser. It's yes, the motivation of the gzeirah was that he might come to marry his children, but it's aser because he, even if he doesn't have any children, because it's simply a lo plug. That is not how the Shach says, right? The Shach, v'afilu b'makom delekha mishum chasnos, kigon pasak homrim she'en lem banim. He says like the bread made by priests because they don't have any children. Aser delo mishum bito shel mocher onosein amru. Elamishum benos ov de kochavim shem ein lazeh yesh lazeh. Meaning, it's not about this guy's daughter. It's about overall interacting and socializing with ov de kochavim. You're going to be invited to a party. He's going to say, "Oh, by the way, this is my friend. He's got a beautiful daughter." You know, whatever, it'll come out like that. It has nothing to do with this person, this particular. Meaning, the way the Taz seems to understand it is that mishum benosayim was really a very localized concern that this bread is going to be so delicious. You want to marry his daughter? Elamai lo plug. The way the Shach understands it was never about this guy's daughter. It's about overall socializing, and therefore it doesn't matter if he's a Catholic priest or not. Chuvas Lev Aryeh, Dayan Grasnas, has the following, in Chelik Beis, Yerdeas Mchafe, he has the following discussion. By Bishalachim, he has this discussion. Let's say someone is being Megayer, right? So today's his big day, he's converting, he has a mikvah appointment at 3 p.m. today. So he wants to make a big party to celebrate his conversion. So he spends all morning cooking for the big party to celebrate his conversion. And then he goes and he's Megayer at 3 o'clock. All his friends come over at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. You know, he puts on tefillin, he davens mincha. All his friends come over at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and he's got all this food to serve them. But it was all bishlachim because he served it, he cooked all of it while he was a guy. So is he allowed to eat the food that he cooked while he was a guy if he's Megayer afterwards? The Chara, the same Shaila applies by Pasachim, right? Because that would be Pas Balabatim if he did such a thing. The Chara, if you say like the Taz, that it's a low plug is a low plug. So what are you going to do? If anything was made by an Akum, even if there's no concern, Mishum Benosei. But if you say like the Shach, that it's not a low plug, it's that you're going to be in the social circles of this person, and being in that person's social circles is very bad. Well, every social circle he's going to be in is going to be a frum place, because now he's a Jew, so there's no concern. The guy who made this, you're going to say, ooh, delicious, who made this bread? And then you're going to point to the guy with the payas and the beard, whose beard is still wet from the mikveh, right? And then, so I have no problem interacting with that person. I have mitzvahs in the Torah that I'm supposed to be nice to that person and interact with that person. So l'chora, it should be, would be totally in this machlokas. L'chora. You disagree? Yeah.
Someone is converting. I think there's a lot of discussion. If he can keep Shabbos fully, right? Because he's like about to be.
Not supposed to keep Shabbos fully until
even when he's like a very.
So he goes to mikvah. Yeah.
It's a different status than a regular goy. Like same thing here. Probably no extra official.
We still have a certain
place.
Whatever
happens,
What do you mean?
Meaning,
And
therefore, there should be. Meaning, even if you bake or bakes bread, like you don't care for the daughter. If your love is pure adasos, you're not gonna.
No, the point is that there's not gonna be pure adasos. So you're gonna be drawn into the religion also. Really good bread. Sourdough. okay. Now, it's not even clear, though. You know, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that it's all about chasnos, right? The Shulchan Aruch says mishum chasnos, but that's not really what the Gemara had said, right? The Gemara said that we're goes in mishum chasnos, and chasnos is only also mishum davarache, right? That it all seems to, and what's davarache? Davarache is avodah zarah. So, is it about chasnos, or is it about avodah zarah? So, if you look at the Prima Gadim in Sif Seidas, Os Beis over here, he writes Va'af kuti she'ein ovid avodos kochavim pito aser v'chein kasar pritoros gimul pashuhu. That, let's say it's a Muslim, right? Someone who's not an ovid avodah zara. So that's also aser. Even a person who's not ovid avodah zara, it's somewhat of a chiddush, because the Gemara said that the problem with chasnus is that it's going to lead to avodah zara. Chasnus alone would not have been sufficient cause for the gzeira. That's at least the impression you get from the Gemara. So what's the pre-Torah talking about? How can the pre-Torah say that even if he's not ovid avodah zara, it's a problem? So pre-Torah explains that he believes that there were really two separate gzeiros. That there was a gzeira on pas akum because of benosehen, and then there's an iser chasnus on account of avodah zara. I mean, it's almost like a gzeira legzeira. But the iser of pas akum was mishum benosehen. Why is benosehen maser a gzeira mishum avodah zara? The Gemara already asks. Say, I need a gzeira mishum avodah zara. I need a gzeira not to marry a non-Jew. Mishum avodah zara, it's aser midoraisa to marry a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, no, mishum yichud, they were goes through yichud, whatever it is. But there was a double gzeira. There's a gzeira relating to yichud of the non-Jew or something that has to do with avodah zara. But the gzeira of pas, says the pre-Torah, has nothing to do with avodah zara. The gzeira of pas is purely based on chasnus. The Matayona son over here in the Shulchan points out that this is a nafka mina between whether it's chasnus or avodah zara is a guy that's not ovid avodah zara. The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is very clear that it's about chasnus and therefore we're machmir even if for those who don't do avodah zara. Now, this discussion has an impact in the reverse as well. Meaning, okay, we say, okay, so we'll be machmir. A Muslim is not an ovid avodah zara, we'll be machmir. Okay, good. Does that mean you're going to be makil if it's a Jew who does believe in avodah zara, who does worship avodah zara? Meaning, if you have a Jew who makes bread, but he's an ovid avodah zara, so he became a mishumad, he's a Christian, so would you be makil on that bread? So that's a discussion in the Pesachei Tshuva. If you look in Pesachei Tshuva, Sif Katan Aleph, I am the same for Tiferes and Moshe, Sim Kuvyu Gimel Sif Tesha Kasav. The pas shel mumar shari, the mishum chasnus lecha. That, yeah, in a chinami. It's mutter. The whole issue is chasnus. There is no issue of chasnus with a Jew, even if he's a mumar. The af al pi shechata Yisrael. No matter what he does, he's always a Jew. Umutter lisa bita mumris. And you're allowed to marry his daughter if you find his daughter to be an appropriate shidduch. So she's a balas tshuva. That's perfectly fine. You're allowed to marry his daughter, and there's no problem. There's no problem with that. That's what the Pesachei Tshuva writes. Not everyone agrees. There are those, including the Prima Gadim, who argue on the Pesachei Tshuva, and they say that from the Gemara it seems that the reason you shouldn't intermarry is so you don't come to worship avodah zara, and since this person is an ovid avodah zara, l'chora his bread should be asur, because you might come to marry his daughter, who will then influence you to be ovid avodah zara. So the Avnei Nezer says, I'll bring you a raya that it's asur. So I'll bring you a raya that even a mumar is going to be asur. Pas of a mumar is going to have a din like pasakum. So as we say it by stam yenum, says the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer is in Yoredeya Simen Sadi Beis. He says, by stam yenum we're machmir on a mumar, even though it's about chasnus. Right, if you look, that's in this volume. Yeah. If you look in Kuf Chav Dalet Sivches, Mashuch Bar Arloso Eina Osa Yayin Nesach Umumar Afal Pishu Umol Osa Yayin Nesach B'Magoo. A mumar makes Yayin Nesach. If he touches the wine, it makes Yayin Nesach. So if the Stam Yenim is also Asa Mishum Chasnus. So this should also be, and we're going to be machmer and a mumar. So as the Avnei Nezer, we should be machmer and a mumar over here also. That seems to be the opinion of the Chazon Ish as well in Yerdeis and Beis Oschav Gimel. That if you have a real mumar, we'll get to in a minute who's a real mumar. But if you have a real mumar, then it should be aser. Now the Avnei Nezer explains that you maybe. What are you going to do with the Tiferes Moshe's taina? Tiferes Moshe says, but it's not an issur of intermarriage to marry the daughter of a mumar. So Avnei Nezer says, yeah, but if the daughter of a mumar is a mumeres, you're not allowed to marry her either. That's also paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Avnei Nezer, some kuflin zayin, says you're not allowed to marry a female mumar. So, meaning even if she's really rich and really beautiful, right? Meaning hashkafa matters at least that much, right? You're not allowed to marry even a female mumar. So if there's such an issue, so the issue of chasim supplies. Meaning what Tzveres the Moshe is saying is, what do I care about marrying the daughter of a mumar? The daughter of a mumar could be a Beis Yaakov girl. She could be wonderful. Whereas Avnei Nezer says, no, the issue is you can't eat the pas of a mumar because the female version of that is someone you're not allowed to marry. I mean, it's not about whether his daughter is, whether his daughter is necessarily us, or you're not allowed to marry someone like him. So it's really on the person making the pas. We call it Mishum Benosei, but it's not really about daughters. I mean, that's what the Taz is Lo Plug. Lo Plug doesn't necessarily mean that it's just whether he has daughters or not. It's not about daughters. It's about someone like this. If it were a female version, that would be a problem for me to marry. So that seems to be the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Tiferes Lamosha and the Avnei Nezer, between Pesachei Tshuva's Tiferes Lamosha and the Avnei Nezer. Is it about do I have to worry about his daughter, or is it about the female version of him? Would the female version of him be a problem? Assuming that it's Aser for a Mumar, let's assume for a moment that it's passive a Mumar is Aser, like the Avnei Nezer, like the Prima Gadim, against the Pesachei Tshuva, how far does that go? What about Mechalalei Shabbos? So Prima Gadim in Sif Seidah Sif Katam Peis, Prima Gadim writes, V'yav kuti she'ein ovid avodot k'chavim pito aser, chen kasar pritawar u pashutu. And then he writes, u pas karoim aser, the bread of karoim is aser, de mechal and Shabbos have a ka ovid k'chavim. Because anyone who's Mechal Shabbos covered Avodah Zarah, so if the Mechal Shabbos, that's also a movement, it's also an Avodah Zarah, even though they don't believe in any Avodah Zarah. Karite. So that's also us. That's what the Prima Gadim writes. And it's going to extend to all Mechal Shabbos. Darkei Tshuva in Sivkat and Hay, the Mooncatcher, quotes a Tshuva Shvilei David. The Tshuva Shvilei David says, Lefi Mashkas HaPrichadosh, Tepas Karoim Aser, Memelu who adin the mumar mafilu lav level zara el chal shabbos farasi gamkein pitalasi. That it's not only about karayim; it's anyone who's mechal shabbos. So anytime you have bread that's baked by mechal, now this becomes very much okay. Lemaisa, right? You have bread baked by someone that's mechal shabbos. Are you allowed to eat it? Sometimes within your family, people have like that. They have a sibling who's a Mechal Shabbos and they're helping to prepare for a Shabbos or for Yantiv and they're really good at baking and whatever. And they're doing it in the kosher kitchen, you're all watching whatever. But if he's baking all the bread, so maybe that should be asir. So nowadays, usually when it comes to the definition of mumar, we always quote Tumar Makamos. What are the Tumar Makamos? What? Chazanish, what's the other one? No, I would have thought Binyan Tzion, no? Binyan Tzion and the Chazanish. Those are the two Mar Makamos that we always quote in that context. What's the Binyan Tzion? Binyan Tzion and Tshuva's Binyan Tzion HaChadosh Simchat Chav Gimel says, Aval Posha Yisrael Shebizmanenu Sheberubam Chil Shabbos Nasa Kehetik. The Posha Yisrael nowadays, you think that Chil Shabbos is not, everything's a custom. Yeah, I know that the very religious Jews have a custom not to break Shabbos. That's not my custom, that everything is heter, everything is motor, everything is customary. Uma gam b'knisa asher kamu tachteya, b'bneihem, asher kamu tachteya, and especially the children that they raised, asher lo yodu v'lo shabu dine Shabbos, they never even heard of the halachas of Shabbos. Shadomen mamish l'tztukin, v'lo nechshvu k'mumrim af al pi shemachal in Shabbos, it's like a tinuk shenishva. They have no idea about Shabbos, and therefore they do not have a din of a mumar. Agav, that's a kula in most circumstances. It might also be a chumrah. There's a tshuva in the Marshag, in Chelik Aleph Yordea Simin Hay, where the Marshag says, in Dine Ribbis, the halacha is that you're allowed to lend money by Ribbis to a mumar. So he says it comes out of Chumrah that if you're not going to label someone a Mumar, then you're not allowed to lend money beribis to such a person, right? If you're going to call everyone a Tinuk Shanishpa, so it's not always a Kula. There's a Tzad Chumrah as well. The other famous Mar Makom is the Chazanish in, what is it, in Hilchos Shechita, no? The Chazanish, what? In Shvius? It's in several places. I think it's in Shechita also. So the Chazon Ish says along the same lines in a number of places that anyone nowadays who's not really observant is really a Tinuk Shenishba. If you look though at the Chazon Ish in Erevin, this is Mar Malcolm, someone sent me, there's a guy who listens to like every shiur. I don't mean like every shiur that I give, I mean every shiur that everybody gives. And so he reports back to me what Rabbi Kala said, and what they, you know, so he's amazing. So he sent me a not yet published sefer by Rav Felder on Machalei Akum, on Pas Akum and Bishul Akum. So I have this bootleg copy of Shirei Halacha. There are a few volumes of Shirei Halacha published by Rabbi Felder, but this one apparently is not yet published. So great stuff. Rabbi Felder is fantastic. He's Rabbi Felder from Toronto, I think, right? I think he was a Talmud of Moshe. His father was a big gadol also. Anyone know? You know? What?
He's from Toronto.
He's from Toronto. You got that. Okay, good. So in that sefer, he quotes the Chazon Ish in the Erev in Siman Pei Zayin Os Yadalim, where the Chazon Ish says that we can only be Mekel because we can assume, an interesting line, he says, the reason it can be Mekel that someone's Mechal Shabbos does not have a din of a Mumar is because you can work with the assumption that Im Yodi Uhu V'yishtadlu Imo Kishir HaYishtadlus Shel Roi Lashu. That if you work hard enough on Kiruv, the guy would do Tshuva. And it's just that we haven't worked hard enough on him yet. Lo Yazid the Vilti Shav. He's not going to continue to be Mezid and not do Tshuva. Amnam Acher SheYishtadlu Imo V'hu Mezid U'Memayim Lashu Dino K'Mumar. But if you already tried and he refuses to do tshuva, so then he has the din of a mumar. Well, meaning, so if it's a guy who grew up not religious and, you know, is an emotionally healthy person or whatever, on a trip to Israel, was slept in Tei Shatav or something, spent a few months there, and then decided, not for me, mumar. Right? Meaning that would be a mumar because we tried, we did, we gave our best kiruv professionals, we threw our best kiruv professionals at the guy. And he chose not to do it, so that would be a mumar. That's what it would emerge from that Chazon Ish. I don't know what, you know, the Chazon Ish is a little cryptic because what's his lashon? Kishir ha'ishtadlus shuroi lashon. The amount of ishtadlus you need to make it that a person should have done tshuva. How much is that?
At least 5 years.
You say at least 5 years?
5 or 30 years when
that's in terms of being able to learn to see success in your learning and success in your avodah, but that I don't know if that's the same about just overall believing in God and His mitzvot. I don't know. Shir ishtadlu shehu roi lashuv. I don't know. What about a person who's raised from? So interesting that I thought Rabbi Felder was going to say the next paragraph is me and Kal V'chomer, someone who was raised from and who knew better, and then he went off and he Kal V'chomer that should have a din of a mumar. He goes in the other direction. He says, a person who's raised from and then decides to give it all up, he says, all the experts will tell you that he had a trauma. That there was an event that happened and there was some traumatic event. Not everybody, but ruba de ruba. There was some, people don't just, if people were brought up in an emotionally healthy place and they had a happy childhood and everything was good and this is the community they've always lived in, the community they always fit into, they don't just drop all of that. Because they'd rather drive on Shabbos, or because they'd rather eat a cheeseburger. They don't just drop that. So it's most often because there's a trauma. So he writes, okay, so Nirish, Shabiderach Klal Yesh Lahakel, Vatam Lazehu Mishum, Shaliolam Yesh Lestapik, Ulai Irolo Bialduso, Ezeshu Mikre Ra. That there must have been something that happened. Shagaram Lo Lazov is Darke Atorah, Ukmoshimi Idim Amumchim. As the psychologist will tell you, sha'azivas hadas mitzuya ma'od ba'anashim shabialdu samir le'mikra rakolshu. That people leave the religion when they had a trauma. V'inei adinu, so what does that have to do with the halacha? So what? Just because he had a trauma? Me'echi tesi trauma is an excuse. So v'inei hadinu, sha'adam achote ba'ones ein dino kumumar. If a person does averos ba'ones, he's not a mumar, conforming din tinuk shenishba, and that's exactly the din of tinuk shenishba, that it's not his fault. Shatam shenu nefshav kumumar, shum shenakshav kanos, kumavor baramba, mamrim gimel gimel, vim kein mistaver, shehu adin ba'adam, shazavis, dark ea torah, machmas eza mikara, she'irolo, she'ein dino kumumar. Ulam lemaisa in the hakel b'zel lo sheilas chacham mishum shadin mishtan nekvim etzius advar mechal mekred l'bevo. Got to ask a shayla in each situation. Okay, fine, that's fair to ask a shayla in each situation, but that's his argument. Yeah.
What about a kid who grew up modern that community, parents are like from-ish, where we grew up?
I'm just glad you didn't mention the neighborhood. I so appreciate that. What?
Wasn't recorded. I don't know about
it. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so
see, Lahalacha is very important. Every person in your house has a like.
Right, went to high school with kids who are no longer religious.
Yeah.
Right, and therefore I may have to. So the truth is, this whole thing, I pulled you in with the Prima Gadim. Maybe it's actually possible with the Prima Gadim. Tiferes Moshe says, Amumar is Mutter. Right, Pashtus is Amumar is Mutter. The whole thing is built on an assumption that Amumar is a problem. So then we have to get into the nitty-gritty of what's called the mumar. It may play a role in other areas of halacha and even other areas of Machal Yaakov, but the chavra not over here, not the pasuk.
Isn't it different if the concern there is that
you have yayin? So yayin is a little complicated because there goes a yayin mishum bitam as well. It's just that they only chose to be gozer and yayin first because yayin also has that high sensitivity of yayin nesef. But the concern that he would actually make yayin nesef was not enough reason for a tzeva. So they didn't really make it. So it's sort of like the combination of the two. Yayin is a little more complicated. Now, Rav Sternbach extends this to even Mechalei Shabbos Bizmanenu. He thinks we pass like the Prima Gadim. We pass in that we're machmer and a mumar, and it should apply even to Mechalei Shabbos Bizmanenu, even a Tinuk Shnishba. And he says that because the whole idea over here is that you should try to stay away from socializing with them and be drawn into their lifestyle. So, meaning, when you want to talk about counting them toward a minion or something like that, that's not about socializing. That's about, does the person have the status of a Jew? So, okay, so then, Tinuk Shnishba, he has the status of a Jew. You're not going to judge him as an Ovid of a Dazar or whatever. Fine. But over here, that's not what it's about, says Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach lives in Shuvasvah and Hagos Chelik Alephs and Tav Ayin. He says, this is all about socializing. This is all about connecting with them. So you're not allowed to connect with them. That's going to be us, says Rav Sternbach. Rav Moshe says, I don't understand. We pass like the Pesach Shuvah, this whole discussion doesn't make any sense. He says, Tama Machmir and Tamua. I know there's a Prima Gadim. I know there's a Pri Tohar. It's all Tamua. It doesn't make any sense to be Machmir. Rabbi Felder said that Rabbi Belsky heard directly from Rav Moshe that Rav Moshe was Makel nowadays. Rabbi Felder said that he knows of a person that asked Rav Moshe that he had an aunt who was not religious, who would bake him babkas or something, and they were really delicious, so he'd like to eat them. And Rav Moshe said it's fine, that there's no problem at all nowadays with the mumar. Now, it is important to highlight, it's not because we don't think intermarriage is so bad. It's because we have certain kulas when it comes to pasachim. You know, the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurim Bia Perek Yud Beis talks about how terrible intermarriage is. You know, one can make a compelling argument. I've been asked shaylas for real about people wanting to start relationships with non-Jews, figuring that it's the smaller halachic iser than the relationships they would otherwise start with Jews. Meaning, you have a guy who is going to be sexually active, let's say. He's going to be. So he figures, look, I went to yeshiva, right? Maybe a classmate, right? And he said, and he says that look, I know that if I'm with a Jewish woman, she's Anita. Anita's an Isser Kares, right? I didn't even need to go show a bet for that, right? Anita's an Isser Kares. But a non-Jew doesn't have a status of Anita. So what is it already? What's the Isser with a non-Jew and a non-Jewish woman? Show me the Isser in the Torah. It's not so clear what the Isser is in the Torah. There are like six different possibilities of what the Isser is in the Torah because it's not so clear what the Isser is in the Torah. So maybe it's not so bad. Maybe a better or. Several times got the Shaila. A person who's a little confused about his sexuality. And what they try to do, what therapists will often try to do, is say, try to have some sort of experience with a girl and see if it does anything for you. See if you can get interested by having some sort of experience with a girl. So, you know, the guy's in med school, and he's surrounded by non-Jewish girls. So, what, I'm gonna use a Jewish girl as my korban, right, to try to have an experience with? So I'll say to find a nice non-Jewish girl, and I'll use her as my karban to have. Not even as a karban, because she doesn't mind. She would think that it's awesome, right? To allow him to discover himself or whatever. I don't know. You know, campus life is not known for its modesty, right? So these shailas come up. So it's important to chazar over the Rambam. The Rambam in Yisurah Biyah Parakid Beis, the Rambam writes, Avon ze, intermarriage. You cannot take it lightly. We just read the parsha of Arayos yesterday. Says the Rambam, this is worse than all of them. It's not yinachayv misa, yinachayv kares. Sha'ben min ha'erva benohu l'chol davar. You have a child from an erva, it's still your child. B'chlal Yisrael nechashev. And it's considered a Jew. Even if it's a mamzer, mamzer at least is kedush shal. Va ben min akutis eino beno. Shemar ki asiros bincha me'acharai. Nasiros umilios acharai Hashem v'davar zeh. Gorim li dabek ba'akum shev dilan rakarosh baruch mehem. V'lashum me'acharai Hashem v'lumol bo. And that's the ultimate rebellion against Kodesh Baruch Hu, because ultimately we disassociate with the Jewish people and we associate with the non-Jewish people, and that is terrible. So good. So that is the Rambam. It's I think they say that I think Rav Shechter puts from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that maybe we should chazer over all of Hilchos Ma'achalei Akum and start being more machmir on all the shailas of Ma'achalei Akum. Because if you see that the intermarriage rate in the United States is more than 50%, now it's like 70%, I think. Among the non-Orthodox, for sure. So if you see that that's what the intermarriage rate is in the United States, and we know that they were gozer these things to avoid chasnus, so maybe we need to hold on a little tighter to these things. Right? Meaning it's a logical conclusion, instead of coming up with kulas left and right for Ma'achalei Akum. Now,
So you're going to go then, and assuming that the issue is socialization, what about the people who are fully from, but their deos are non-traditional?
How non-traditional? Meaning, my father-in-law was once telling me about a certain professor who does not believe in Torah Minashmayim. He writes explicitly he does not believe in Torah Minashmayim. My father-in-law said he davens with a talus over his head. I don't care what he wears over his head when he's davening. I don't even know who he's davening to. I don't know. Like, what is that? What does that matter? Meaning, if a person's not Bikaros, he's not Bikaros.
So that qualify?
Yeah, but it might also qualify for Timuk Shunishman for everything else. You know, depending on or some trauma. Maybe whatever. I don't know. Who knows? Now, the Ran is bothered by the following kasha. Chazal really needed to make a gzeira not to buy bread from Optik Chavim. The stomach, the oven they're baking in is a treifa oven. All their baking tins are treif. They probably make treifa things in all the baking tins. So of course you're not allowed to buy from Optik Chavim. Of course you're not allowed to have bread from Optik Chavim. I mean, this was not talking about under a hashkacha. And the whole discussion of Pasachim assumes that you know what all the ingredients are and you know that everything's kosher. But Mechitesi, you could assume everything's kosher if all their kalim are assumed to be treif. So the Ran asks this kasha, and he says, "Yeah, but it's mostly Talmud of God because Tam Kelim are in Bnei Yovan." Tosos and Lamed Chesam and Beis and the Ramban and the Ran say that it's not just that; there are many sfeikos involved. Maybe it's in a Bnei Yovan. Maybe right they didn't use the kli that day, and even if they did use the kli that day, maybe they only use it for kosher food. And even if they use it for non-kosher, maybe that food is nosin tamal kam into this food, right? And therefore you have that heter. So it's a sex veka to be matir. The Rambam in Malchol Zeres Parak Yitzayin Alach Yitzayin seems to say that b'diavad it's only b'diavad that we're not choshesh for kelim shenah b'nei yaman, but the Ran brings many rayas that we're not concerned at all. Now this comes out over here on the page of Shulchan Aruch, right? The Shach and Sivkat and Gimel Mishum Chasnos Shach writes. Aval, Mishum Gili of the Chavim Lekalamechash, Tistam Kleim Ena B'nei Yoman. You don't have to worry about Gili of the Chavim, because Tam Kleim Ena B'nei Yoman. So that's how the Shach writes. The Rabbi Skatchelis in Oval Yaakov explains that even though we don't lechatchila rely on osim tam lufgam, and therefore lechatchila you can't cook food in a non-kosher enu ben yom apat, over here we're makel, because what the Shach is alluding to is a Raman, some kufcha beisivav, where if you look over there, it's great to have these marmakomas in the same volume. So kufcha beisivav, Rama over there writes that Avul mechime mayim bekli shalom yichav im lolosh ben pas asu lolosh bos in mayim bil darvizem bekli lechatchila hol ba'dayim lo hischal anasu shalom huchum l'shtia Avul davar shenasu b'shvilo v'lo b'shvil davar acher Avul yishu shalom yichav yisrael v'yisrael konim menu lechatchila mutter d'me'achver t'kvar nasu b'yadol yichav im mikra d'yavet. That the Rama says that you're allowed to buy kosher food that a non-Jew prepared in his kelim, and you're allowed to do that lichavchila because that's considered b'diavad, because it's already done, you already prepared it in his kelim. So just like you're allowed to lichavchila eat chicken that you cooked in an Eino Ben Yomo pot, right? I mean, sometimes an Eino Ben Yomo dairy pot, right? That we've discussed. Eino Ben Yomo, the food is always going to be mutter. You just always need to kasher the pot, and that always confuses people, right? The balabasta that calls up and says, "Oh no, I made my chicken soup in the dairy pot." When was the last time it was used for dairy? When was the last time you used the pot? I haven't used it in a week, a month, or whatever. So, okay, the chicken soup is okay, but you have to kasher the pot. So, normally, again, like we've mentioned many times, by the time that phone call is made, the chicken soup doesn't exist. It's been thrown out. It's, they get rid of it. But la halacha, even la chachila you're allowed to eat it, because that's not called the, meaning it is b'diavad, but it's the whole situation is b'diavad, but even the chachila you're allowed to eat it. So over here also, you can eat the you can eat the bread that was baked in kelim she'in and b'nei yom, in a non b'nei yom kelim.
How can we assume that a powdered kelim are not like a factory, no?
What?
How can we assume that they're not b'nei yom, they're like a factory?
Right. So if it's a factory or a bakery, so then you have a hard time.
Isn't that a powdered baker?
Palter's a baker.
Yeah, isn't that
the Gagma? No, we're asking why did Chazal ever need to make a Gezerah of Pasakum, of Pasbalibatim? Anyway, it's going to be Aser. So the Gezerah was on Pasbalibatim, right? And I say, no, it's not anyway Aser. Gestam Kelimin and B'nei Yom. We'll have to talk about factories also, whether that has a din of a Palter. Palter doesn't mean a factory, it means a bakery. Meaning there are different madrigos, right? A bakery is, you can go to Central Avenue, you go to what's it called, Cedar Lane or whatever, right? And there may be a bakery there. But a factory is that somewhere in the Midwest, there's they're producing entomans or Stelador or whatever, something that's much, much bigger, where you have mamish no shaykhus to the bakery.
Don't want to say it's much if you don't have any other bread. I mean, there's three different levels, like we said, for example, if you cook.
Okay, so we'll get there. We're not there. But what are you driving at, therefore?
Maybe therefore, you shouldn't be able to see this bread if you have other bread.
Okay, we'll get there. We'll get to that. Now, the next thing I want to cover, I'm just not sure how far we're going to get in it right now, is what constitutes pas and what does not constitute pas. Shulchan Aruch writes, let's at least get started on it. Shulchan Aruch writes, V'lo asrel pas shel chameshes mine daga. One clear definition of pas has got to be the five grades. Av pas shel kidnish shel oriz v'dochan en b'chal pas stam sha asr. And the Rama adds, "V'gam meino also mishum b'shulei v'chav meino olal shulchan malachim." That if it's not olal shulchan malachim, then it's not going to be bishalakum either. So if you manage to thread the needle to have something that's neither the chameshos minei dagan nor olal shulchan malachim, then you can have something that was made by a nachri, that was baked by a nachri, and is going to be mutter. Now that din of ein olal shulchan malachim is the din that you have in bishalakum. The question is, does it also apply to pas akum? What if you have pas that's eino olal shulchan malachim? So Rabbi Yehuda Snipeshitz in the Mati Yonasan says that we're makel, and that's what the Avnei Nezer writes as well. There is an argument to be made, though, that we should be machmir even when it comes to pas that's eino olal shulchan malachim. And that is as follows. Let's say someone makes out of five grains, but they make it in a way that's not olal shulchan malachim. Like we said, a hot dog bun or a hamburger bun. So let's assume that that's not olal shulchan malachim at the moment. So would we be makel on that? So the Prima Gadin in Mishpatos Zav Sivkat and Gimel explains the chilukim between the gezeros of pas akum and the gezeros of bishal akum. And he writes that each one has a kula and a chumra. What's the chumra of pas? that even pas, it's einol al shulchan malachim, is included in the gzeira of pas. And that's what it sounds from a lot of the poskim as well, that they mention the heter of something that's einol al shulchan malachim only legabe bishul akum. It doesn't really get mentioned legabe pas akum. Why should there be a difference? Because the metzias is that most pas is al shulchan malachim, and therefore Chazal didn't feel the need to start splitting hairs and making a gzeira for a very rare kind of situation. So they asked all types of pas, even the ones that aren't olal shulchan malachim. But the gabe bishul akum, there are lots and lots of foods that are not olal shulchan malachim, and therefore Chazal saw more of the need to be mechalik in the gzeira. Again, not so common when it comes to most breads, because b'derech klal pas is olal shulchan malachim. Where it does become very common is a lot of mizonos foods, which may be included in pas. And a lot of them are not olal shulchan malachim. Meaning, is Cheerios pas akum? So if you have the ein olal shulchan malachim heter right off the bat, you don't have to have any further discussion, right? Cheerios is not olal shulchan malachim. Any breakfast cereal is not olal shulchan malachim. So therefore, it's, you know, the next step is really to go through, you know, what is and is not olal shulchan malachim. But maybe we'll stop here and we'll get into that. That's from tomorrow. Pizza, crackers, pretzels, you know, cereal, all of those things. And then we'll get back to politics.